Praise the Lord, a pleasant good morning. And I greet you in the most precious and wonderful name, the name that is above every other name. Can I get a witness? The name is above every other name. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. For a subject today, we're talking about the heart, and I would like you to sing with me this song, Change My Heart, O God. Amen. With my heart, O God. Praise the Lord. Really, I can't take the breeze when I'm preaching. It cools me down. I'm very sorry. I'm trying to turn that fan off. It blew away my papers too. So, how are you feeling? I enjoyed the worship this morning. I enjoyed the talks that were shared. And I'm thankful to Pastor that asked me for allowed me the opportunity of sharing the good news of the kingdom of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. It's been impressed upon my heart by the Holy Spirit about the condition of the heart. I had to go through the process, and note I did say process because process is something of a change, or like the metamorphosis process of the butterfly from the larva to the caterpillar, the stages that the changes the larva to the until it becomes that beautiful butterfly. And I think this is the purpose of God today through this word. His word is to bring us into a kind of change that will, a lasting one, not something transient, not something temporary. Are you with me? Praise the Lord. There's a lot of heart conditions that are going to be affected by the message, but for the better. Everybody say process.
Process.
We have to go through the process. I remember diamond seeking and gold digging. You just don't arrive at the precious metal by just, maybe by stroke of luck, you can pick up something. You have to have the ability to prospect. You need the skills. You need the endurance, the physical health, the it's a process that you have to know when the gold, how to amalgam it with the silver to get the impurities out. And as the melting pot is to silver and the furnace is to gold, the gold needs a hot fire. It's trying that the impure state and burns out the impurities, and then you have fine gold coming out at the end. So is a man to his praise, as the melting pot to silver and the furnace is to gold, so is a man to his praise. It is deep. And like my sister was saying, we have to bring our lives up to another level. And it starts with you.
Right.
It starts with you.
Right.
Yeah. I don't know, God has blessed me with an ability that I know for sure if I don't use, I'm going to lose. Listen to this. Oh Lord, you love me first. That's why you created me. You looked at me through your magnificent lens of infinity. At me, you see my identity, my inadequacy, moral deficiency, limited ability, weakness, strength, character, gifts, talents, but still you love me.
Hallelujah.
But still you love me. My reflections in the mirror of your word reveals me, mere mortal, in need of a redeemer, a savior, a healer, a provider, a deliverer. Oh, my Father, whose hands uphold all things by the word of your power. Your manifest presence rescue me through incarnate deity and salvage a unique but selfish corrupt soul victoriously by the selfless display of love unconditionally. The Word was made flesh, my advocate, my intercessor, my high priest, forever you will be. But, O Lord, you still love me. You will never leave me. You will never forsake me because you first love me. My question, I give it a, how many thumbs up do you give it? Did it register? Was it too fast? What will enter or store the mind to produce such thoughts? What or who is responsible? Everybody say a change of heart. Would you believe? Let me see if I can pick up the date. It was the third of the fourth month in the year 2018. This one doesn't have a time to it. But the Lord has blessed me with those words. A son who was rebellious. A son who went astray from the right way. A son, a prodigal son, in other words, the Lord's hand rested upon that son and brought about a change of heart. What would propel someone to write this song? Listen to me and listen well. He said, you know Sugar Cane, right? Cane. Monday, she went for cane. Tuesday, she went back again. Wednesday, the girl went for cane, and she was gone in the backyard for cane again. I'm wringing my mouth as much as possible. I'm saying, when we were young, this song was aired, and it was promoted on the wax, on the radio, and it has left an indelible impression upon us. So many of you maybe did not hear it, but I heard it, and we sang it, and we danced to it. We did all manner of things. But one day she went for cane. The intent of the heart is what I'm getting at. One writer, he's going to write lawlessness. A next writer is going to write something like the song we sing, deeper. Come on, church. Getting deeper in the love of Jesus. Do you really want to get deeper in his love? It is calling for a change of heart. Let's get into Genesis. It's 6:5-7?
Yeah.
And Elohim, Creator God, and God saw that the wickedness of man was great in the earth, and that the imagination of the thought of his, everybody say heart. Heart was only evil continually. And it repented the Lord that he made man on the earth. And it grieved him at his
heart.
There are two hearts here. Man's heart and God's heart. This heart that is earmarked here is not the hollow muscular organ that pumps blood throughout the circulatory system by rhythmic contraction and dilation. Want me to run that back? It's not the hollow muscular organ that pumps blood through the circulatory system by rhythmic contraction and dilation. I'm not a doctor. Cease. Don't say, brother, you have to explain that. But when I hear contraction, I know with the ladies, in time of labor, there is some kind of contraction issue going on. Come on, church. Yes. So this labor, I can see the heart. The laboring of this heart to pump blood throughout the system. What it pumps? Blood. The life of the flesh is in the so the heart is keeping this flesh, this body up. Keeping it alive, in other words. And that's all physical. I should have simply said, the heart is an organ which keeps up circulation of the blood in the body. In the Bible, there's also pictorial references of this physical heart. There's some graphic ones also. For Samuel 25:37, Abigail gave Nabal, her husband, the news of what transpired between herself and King David. The Bible says his heart dried up within him, and he became as a stone. I remember as Rastafarians, we would look at people who treat us kind of and say, that's a stone heart person. It means his heart was, he froze when he heard the news. What was the news? Abigail had took ration towards David because David was coming at rage to destroy Nabal. Nabal means fool, the fool. Because he would not offer to David substance. Because David, when he was on the run from Saul, was protecting even Nabal's shepherd and sheep in the pasture.
Right.
And David said, I protected this man's wealth or his investment. But yet he's denying me. Little fool to drink from my soldiers. I'm going to take him up. The news reached his wife. Thank God for good wives.
Yeah.
Somebody say amen.
Amen.
And she had a heart of compassion and wisdom, and she took stuff towards, she saddled the mules and took stuff towards David. And David would eventually relent and says, okay, thank you. But when the news reached my boy, his heart froze. And the Bible said, sometime after, a few days after, he died. Then you had Joab. David again, his son Absalom was on the run. And his mule passed under this tree that was very low, and he had much hair on his head, and he was left hanging. And Joab heard of this, the captain of David's army. And he said, didn't you trust the sword in him? Didn't you kill him? Look at the heart of Joab. Even though he heard David says, protect my boy. All right. Absalom was David's son who rose up against him. Kind-hearted as David was, Joab was different. It says, Joab says, I'm going to finish this once and for all. And he took three darts, according to 2 Samuel 18 and 14. And Joab took three darts in his hand and thrust them through the heart of Absalom while he was yet alive. So these are some graphic illustrations of the human heart. And there you have the Hebrew word lev, and the Greek word cardio, with a K, and comes down to cardia in the English, where you have the word, someone got a cardiac arrest, a heart attack, right? All right. For a subject, we're talking about guarding our hearts, or keeping your heart. Turn with me to Ephesians 1:18. And I hope as I speak on this subject, our hearts will be indeed enlightened as we are reminded about the importance of our heart. Ephesians 1:18. Having the eyes of your heart. This can't be the blood pump. Having the eyes of your hearts enlightened, that you may know the hope to which he has called you, which are the riches of his glorious inheritance in the saints. We have a living hope today. 1 Peter 1:3 says, Praise be to God and the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. In His great mercy, He has given us new birth into a living hope. New birth into a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. I know I'm running some strange scriptures by us today because I want us to get to this level, this new level. Our heart's condition are about to change. We have this living hope, a lively hope, because of the new birth.
Yes.
Because of us coming to Christ, surrendering. The new birth transforms us and brings us into a relationship, a fellowship, that as a result to the resurrection of Jesus Christ, He who knew no sin had become sin. And He prophesied as Jonah was in the heart, the Hebrew, this is the way they put it, the heart, which speaks of like the center, as Jonah was in the center of that fish for 3 days and three nights, so the sun will be in the heart of the earth 3 days and three nights. But thank God, He didn't remain there. On the third day, He arose victoriously. He says, I am the resurrection and the life. This should stir us up. This should bring us hope. Because He is the resurrection. He was revived from the dead, in other words. He says, I have the ability to lay down my life and to take it back again. We also have a blessed hope. Titus 2:13 says, looking for the blessed hope and the glorious appearance of the great God and our Savior, Jesus Christ, who gave Himself for us. These are scriptures stirring us up. Prepare for the end time. Let not your heart be troubled. Let not your hearts be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you, that where I am, you may be also.
Hallelujah.
Then He says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes unto the Father but by me. Let not your heart be troubled. Our hearts are troubled and perplexed on every side, I know. Worrying, taking thought of what we may eat and drink. But continue to seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Unto me. Don't take thought of what you're going to eat and drink. He provides for the lilies. He caused them to grow in their beauty. They're cut down and thrown into the trash. The sparrows, one that falls from the sky, He knows. How about you? As I said earlier, He loves you. He loves me. And He will never leave you nor forsake you. But will be with you to the end of the age. The problem with us is that our trust, our confidence, and our assurance has fallen short from God Almighty. Proverbs chapter 3 and verse 5 says, trust in the Lord with all your trust in the Lord with all your heart. Don't lean upon your own understanding. Acknowledge Him in all your ways, and He's going to direct your path. There's a blessing for the pure in heart. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. He who you're talking about, maybe you witness to people. He who you have this hope of seeing. It's simple. He that had this hope in the coming, or he that had this hope in him, in Christ Jesus, purify him, his heart. Purify, purge your hearts from sin. Purge it with the hyssop of the word. Cleanse yourself from every unclean thing. Act just as he is pure. He that had this hope in him, that's 1 John 3:3, purifies himself even as he is pure. His eyes, he's of purer eyes than to behold evil. He ain't gonna dwell in the midst and the tents of wickedness. You see, there's a battle going on today. Tell your neighbor, there's a battle. And it's time to guard your heart. You can ask the question, well, how can I guard my heart? There's some thoughts that are running through. First, the entrance of thy word brings light. When we allow the entrance of God's word into our hearts, it brings light.
Hallelujah.
That's Psalm 119:130. When you allow the entrance of the word of God, it brings light and understanding to the simple. Young men, young women, allow God's word to enter deep within. For the word of God is quick and powerful, sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing to divide and asunder the soul and the spirit, the joints and the marrow. It's a discerner of the thought and the intents of the heart.
Amen.
God has eyes. He knows what you're going through. He knows where you're at. His eyes go to and fro the earth, beholding the good and the evil. When the imagination and the inclination of the hearts of man, according to our scripture reading, his very thought pattern, his imagination was continually evil. God saw. God was looking. This, my creation, my crown creation, it repented me. My heart is hurt. Because the very imagination of this man. Look at today. The no-nos of yesterday has become the norms of today.
Yes.
We can't use some of these terms because of the kids around. But the sodomites were in the Bible. The homo sexuals in the days of Lot, in the book of Kings, and even the Judges, these people brought downfall to the nation of Israel because they went astray into marrying with them and learning their culture and their ways. I'm saying to you and to myself, come out from among them and be separate. Touch not the unclean thing, and I will be a God to you. And you will be my people. I will be a father to you. And you will be my sons and daughters. Having then been made known of these precious promises, let us cleanse ourselves from the filthiness of the flesh and spirit, perfecting holiness and the fear of God.
Amen.
Allow the entrance of the word to enter into the heart. You see, as we constantly hear the word of God, something arises. Faith. Faith comes by hearing, and by hearing the word of God. If we continue in my word, if you continue in my word, you are my disciples. Then you shall know the truth, and the truth shall set you free. You're burdened down with sin and temptation, plaguing your mind. Previous sins are coming up before you. Because you've tasted of the pleasure of sin, you find yourself gravitating and going back. I know what I'm talking about. Those who are hooked on habits because of the pleasure of sin, which is only for a season. She that liveth in pleasure is dead while she yet liveth. Pleasure, sin is for just a season. Unless you get radical, all right, and be like the SWAT team, unless you be on guard like NYPD and strap up yourself because of the intensity of the crime you're about to face, the sins and the temptation, unless you begin to put on the whole armor of God, the helmet of salvation, the breastplate of righteousness, have your loins girt about with truth, get ready to march and preach the gospel, take up the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God, take up the shield of faith, which is able to quench the fiery darts of the enemy. Unless you want to get radical, because the kingdom of God suffered violence, but the violent take it by force. You got to get beside yourself. I have to lift my standard today. Amen. I'm not going under. I am climbing over, because I know I am more than a conqueror. Amen. To him who loved me and gave his life for me.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
Amen.
So when we continue in the word, we come as disciples. And the beauty about it, his word is a lamp unto our feet.
Amen.
And a light unto our path. There's direction coming out from the word. That's why the psalmist would say, thy word have I hid in my heart, that I might not sin against thee. Thy word have I hid in my heart.
Amen.
There's a battle going on. The kingdom of darkness versus the kingdom of light. It's taking place in your mind. That's why Paul says, the things he would like to do, he finds it hard to do. He has the desire, even this mighty apostle is saying, but he sees the law. And not the law in his member. The law of sin, fighting against the right things, the right standard, the law of Christ. In other words, inside of him. He ends up saying, oh, wretched man of heart am I, who shall deliver me from this body? But I'm saying, there's a greater force. There's a greater force than sin today.
Yes.
Christ, who knew no sin, became sin, that we might become the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus.
Yes.
Oh, praise the Lord.
Yes.
Continue in this word. Some of us are going to leave here today, and we're going to become a forgetful hero. The Bible says, don't be a forgetful hearer, but a continual doer of the word. Because man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeded from the mouth of God. The center of the human spirit, from which springs emotion, love, compassion, thoughts, motivation, courage, actions. In other words, the wellspring of life. Proverbs 4:23. We have to guard our hearts. Tell your neighbor again, it's time to guard your heart. Guard your heart. Keep your heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life. believers, we need to take notice. In other words, don't get comfortable, but become knowledgeable. Ask series of questions. Ask the Holy Spirit for the answers. I know what I'm saying, because on the internet, there are lots of views. You can get the Mormon view. And if you're not, lots of views, you want to go to YouTube, iTunes, or whatever? No problem, but the Holy Ghost, please. Right. Help me to conceive fruit. That's all we want. Gospel, good news, truth.
Yes.
So, as believers, we need to be circumspect. The Bible says, walk circumspectly, cautiously, as wise, not as fools, redeeming the time, making the full use of the time, because the days are evil. So the battle is intensifying as the end times appear. Our arch enemy is seeking to make us fuel for the fires of hell with him. He wants us to miss the mark and fall short. But the Lord is saying today, above all else, guard your heart. Yes. Watch over it to protect it. Be on guard. Be vigilant. Be like a security guard guarding the king's treasure.
Yes.
Be alert. The king's treasure. This ministry that we're so blessed to receive. The good news, the gospel. The new covenant of Jesus Christ. Oh man, you know where I'm coming from. The new covenant that we are grafted in because of the goodness of Jesus and what he has done for us. A lost generation can be found in Christ. Christ in me, the hope of glory. I can do all things through Christ who gives me the strength.
Hallelujah.
This ministry, the gospel, the good news, the new covenant, the gospel of Jesus Christ. We do not lose heart. 2 Corinthians 4:1. Tell you there, it's time to muster up strength. We cannot afford to lose heart. We need to quit ye like men and be strong. We cannot afford to lose heart. Second Corinthians 4:1. Therefore we have this ministry as we have received mercy. Oh, Jesus. Man, I'm thankful for the day that I submit to the mercy, the goodness, the grace, the unmerited favor that was lavished so abundantly. I'm thankful. It is called mercy. God withholding his wrath, extending his love.
Hallelujah.
I should have been crucified. But thank God Christ took the place. We cannot afford to faint.
Nope.
Come on, church. Weeping may endure for the night, but joy comes in the morning. We cannot afford to faint. But we're in a battle. It's a conflict and it's raging. Let us not become weary in our well-doing. Don't become weary doing good. In due season, you will reap if you faint not.
Glory.
Glory and more glory. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. We need to take a stand, and having an all to stand.
Yes.
Stand, having your loins guard about with truth.
Yes.
The abuse some of us give our wives, and some of our wives gives us. And our children. You need a change of heart. Let me tell you. The rod of the wicked will not be placed on the lot of the righteous unless he puts forth his hands to iniquity. You go about doing, you're going to feel a rod. It ain't going to be mine. It's going to be the word coming. It's going to be the conviction. It's going to be the Holy Spirit doing that work. We need to take a stand. We are God's property. Turn away from and renounce secret and shameful ways.
Yeah.
Verse 2. A lot of us got a lot of things parked up inside of us. We ain't getting rid of it. It's about time. But you have renounced the hidden things of dishonesty. Not walking in craftiness, you're handling the word of God deceitfully. We stand here when you tell somebody, tell them the truth. If you don't know, shut up.
Amen.
Don't mishandle the word of God, but by manifestation of the truth, commending ourselves to every man's conscience in the sight of God. Beloved, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are pure, if there be any virtue, if there be any praise, think on these things. Think on things that are pure, honest, lovely, of good report, just. I left out just. We need to get our thoughts rewind. You've seen some movies that in your quiet moments they just comes up. Yeah, watch it. During some conversation years ago and it comes back up. Young people, you got to program yourself the right way.
Amen.
The input. Because out of the abundance of the
heart,
the mouth speaks. And what comes out of you defiles you.
Amen. Amen. All right.
Watch how you're getting yourself engaged. I'm talking about somebody. But these characters. Look, don't tie up your soul with no because of sweet words. Or you allow the spirit of lust. Lust, when it conceives, brings forth sin. And sin, when it is finished, brings forth death. It's in the mind. It's in the heart. There's a battle for your soul. You have to take a stand and renounce. I had to, one preacher, one friend of ours, he would say, come. And when I go, I just got saved. Come and renounce the spirit of Rastafarism. Come and renounce the spirit of marijuana. And like a sheep to the slaughter, I would go. And after that time, I said, I've done this a million times. What's wrong with this guy? Come, renounce those. It works. You openly tell God, God, I'm sorry. You don't have to shout to the rooftop because you never might get the keep your linen inside, right? Find a quiet place, but make sure verbally you say, Lord, I'm renouncing these things, these hidden secrets, these hidden immoralities, these immoral stuff that I do in the dark when nobody sees. I say. These alternating personalities, Dr. Jekyll in the day and Mr. Hyde in the night. Double standards, double character. The heart is considered to be the whole man, as I say. This inner life, it is the heart which makes you a man or a beast. You know, in the Bible, it hardly speaks of the brain. It speaks of the heart, because it's a heart condition. I'm going to leave a part two of this message, because I think we want to do some praying. But the imaginations of our heart would cause God to look upon us and determine how he's going to bless us. When no generation, they had heard the preaching from Enoch. Enoch was translated. He was taken away because he had a testimony that pleased God.
Yes, amen.
Enoch had a testimony. What is your testimony like? Have you ever brought someone to the service, encouraged them? Have you ever took time off to say to a friend, Jesus loves you? It repented the Lord that he had made man. It grieved him at his heart. The eyes of God sees our hearts. The psalmist says, in thee, O Lord, do I put my trust. Say ye to my soul, flee as a bird to the mountains. For lo, the wicked have bent their bows, and even my enemies make ready their arrows to shoot privately at the heart of the upright. They're coming after you. Look at this arrow aiming at your heart. Unless you have the shield of faith, you cannot quench that fiery dart. They're about to shoot. You need to be vigilant. You need to be watchful. Because we have an adversary going about like a roaring lion, seeking who he may devour. Say ye unto my soul, flee as a bird to the mountain. How say ye? For the wicked have bent their bows. The psalmist says, I'm confident. I have my trust in him. Those that trust in the Lord should be as Mount Zion, which cannot be removed, but abide forever. As the mountain sojourning around Jerusalem, so shall the Lord be round and about me. When you have the trust and the confidence in God, you'll be like the fortified city of Jerusalem. And unless the Lord says, I'm going to move that hedge, you remain fortified, blessed, and highly favored. For the wicked have bent their bows, they make ready their arrows, that they may shoot at the heart of the upright. But if the foundation be destroyed, what can the righteous man do? On Christ the solid rock I stand. If the foundation, thank God for Christ the foundation.
Amen.
We build on no other foundation. The foundation is already laid. God saw the afflictions of his people in Egypt. His eyes behold, his eyelids tries the children of men. And upon the wicked, he's going to rain snares of fire and brimstone, and a horrible potion shall be the tempest for their cup. These are psalms that I've learned really many years ago. It's not imaginary words, they're from the Bible, but I didn't put the text to them. But it's to show the love of God for his people and his ability to prosper and to protect us when we, our hearts are in tune and inclined to him. You love the Lord today? I love the Lord. The Lord sits upon his throne securely. He's on his throne. He cannot be removed. It is the wallowing in the miry clay of sin and wickedness, wiring in our ability to cheat and to steal and to covet and to lust. These things God hates. The way some people live, as though he's not on the throne and he does not see. But like I just said, his eyes behold and his eyelids tries the children of men. I got good news for you today. God loves you. And he wants us to turn away from what we are doing and turn the things that are unlike him and turn towards him and do what is right. As I said, I'm going to leave a part two for this message. I'm going to stop here. Hallelujah. 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 Ask the Lord to search you today. Whether man, woman, boy, or girl. Begin like the psalmist. Search me, O God, and know my heart today. And like the songwriter, try me and see if there be any wicked way in me. Ponder today at what was said. The psalmist, the doxology, I think, of Moses. Let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, my strength and my redeemer. Ponder the meditation. All eyes closed, and I want you to bow and look inside. Hallelujah. 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 Praise ye the Lord. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah, Lord. Praise God. Glory to God.
We've sung the song, Change My Heart. Do you mean it? Are you willing to give all of you and not just a fraction of your heart?
Hallelujah.
Search me, O God, and know my heart today.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
Try me, O Father, see. Hallelujah. There's so much more depth to go in his heart, cleansing, metamorphosis, business, transformation, healing, cleansing thing. We have not reached to David who was crying out, Lord, create in me a clean heart. But we can say like David today, because he was called a man after God's own heart, and he was not perfect. Asa destroyed the grove, so much groves, and the idolatry of the time. God said, But some of the things are still remain in the hills. But he's perfect. He walked after his father David. Perfect. We are striving for that perfection. Job would have sued and perfect before God. But had flaws. But God, his eye sees and knows everything. What is hurting your relationship with God today? I want to call on the children to come. I want to call the young people, if you consider yourself young, to come. Because it begins right here. The future, the next generation. This heart condition, let's work on it early. Because it means at the age of 8, God has changed my heart. I can live to 98 my whole life, 108 for God. At 18, it's 10 years short of the 98 or closer to. But at 68, you know what I mean? I'm saying, children, come. And young people.
Yeah.
The congregation could join. We can sing.
Praise God. Hallelujah.
Create in me a clean heart, O God. And renew a right spirit within you.
Create in me.
You guys are afraid? Why everybody running to this end? Come on, it's Tony Gordon. Where are you running from?
And renew a right spirit within me. Yeah.